No, I texted you our plan. It's raiding the Chris Blevin soundtracks for the heat check. Yeah, it's okay. So we were driving back from. I was driving with the jam crew, which is a little bit of a riot because I don't know. It's the jam crew. It's like a little disorganized, but it's also a lot of fun. So they kind of balance each other out. Anyways, we were driving back and like trying to decide if Chris Blevin is actually good at rap. And turns out, not only is he a great bike racer, I don't really know rap very well, but it's a whole heck of a lot better than I could do. And it sounds pretty
spoken
good.
Spoken word poet, I think is.
Sorry, spoken word poet. But did you stick around for the end of the Red Bull coverage? And in the trailer, there's like, or in like the credits thing, he has a spoken word poetry rap thing recapping the entire World Cup season, and it's amazing.
I admittedly have not watched the World Cups because our internet, until now, has been so bad. We had no internet, no cell service in West Virginia. We were just off the grid.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, I'd say skip the races if you don't want to watch those, but cut to the very end of the Red Bull coverage, and you get the Chris Blevins spoken word rap synopsis. And the best part is like they recorded this before he won.
Oh.
Right? So it's like, it's so fitting. So he got, it's like there's a podcast bump, a vlog bump, there's a rap bump. For sure.
I mean, but if we're being honest here, we have to verify that with Michael Bodenheimer. He's kind of established that he's the arbiter of all thing bump. My take on this race is, one, I'm still just chanting USA, USA, kind of everywhere I go. But I know, you know, as a quasi media member, you know, I'm not supposed to like play favorites or whatever. And we've joked a lot because it seems like so many people after like every tour stage this summer were just crying for some reason. I'm not normally one to cry over bike racing. I just, you know, it's bike racing. I like it and all that stuff. But I was getting a little misty eyed. I mean, it's been a long time since U.S. men really in an off-road discipline have had a moment. And I don't know, it was just kind of a really cool moment to see, you know, all the Americans there and see him chanting USA and stuff. I teared up a little bit, I'm not going to lie.
I mean, one, my first point is, do you guys not walk around chanting USA all the time? That was the impression I was under.
I'll have to get back to you on that one.
And, yeah, two, absolutely. Like, there's... I think Jen would agree with this. There's a certain element like where I want to see Canadians do really well. But if that doesn't work, I'm okay. I'm 100% okay rooting for the Americans, especially like in the World Cup.
I think in international sports, yeah, like North American cycling, you just kind of, we band together. It's like North America. It's like our world against their world. It's like,
yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, I think like Jen, to be really honest, I think the women have spoiled us with the level of success that you've had. And I think that it's like this for me, at least in American soccer, too. Right. Like our women are just absolutely incredible.
Well, they're the second best.
They dominate.
They're
the
second. Not even second best right now.
They're almost the best, but they aren't.
Did they lose to you guys? They lost to you guys, didn't they? Did they lose to you at the Olympics? Oh, man.
Yeah. So you have the second best soccer team.
They're really good. And, you know, the men, we just have not had the same level of success. And so, like, when it does happen, I think there's that level of, like, you know, not to say that, like, when the women do it, that you're not celebrating. But to see the men do something that they normally don't, it's a little bit more exciting. It's kind of like human nature, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, and, like, man, credit to the guy. He, maybe it's a bit of course, it's a bump having those short track world championships and being in your home crowd, but there must have been so much pressure along with that too. Like,
I don't think there is pressure. The guy literally had never had a top 10 before. It's his first top 10.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, that's true. Right. He gets fifth and people are like, wow, that was an amazing
race. I think
there's
a lot of anticipation around him to do something, which now he, you know, with Worlds and this, he has done. But I don't know if like coming into this home race, it was like, oh, we're expecting him to do this. I think everyone is just so hopeful and waiting for him to do things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so this is ostensibly a cyclocross podcast, right? Okay. I'll let you. Sorry, I'm used to being the host. I'll just come along for the ride. This is your podcast, okay?
Right. Hi, everybody. Today we have Zach Schuster from the CX Airs Bulletin, the premier North American cyclocross. Actually, that's doing you guys an injustice.
Aren't they the only ones?
Not only are you the premier, North American cyclocross media. You're the only ones, but you're also just really good at what you do.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to be here. I have to say, like, I mean, I've told you guys this off the record or off the air that, like, I'm not a big listening to cycling podcast kind of guy, but I listen to yours.
Is it because you're an introvert and really you just want to hang out with people, but not really hang out with people?
I did get that vibe. I was listening to the last episode and you guys were so conversational and you're having a, and I'm sitting in my car being like, Stephen Hyde, Stephen Hyde, and being like, oh, wait, I'm not on the show.
You know,
so you guys do that really well. I think that is kind of the story.
Our secret mix is going in with no plan.
I think there were a couple when we tried to have a plan, but then we just get on such big tangents that when we come back to it, we're like, we're not getting through any of this because we just like talking about bike racing. And that's why we started this podcast is we're like, we just wanted to talk about, like, have those post-race conversations or pre-race conversations that we already have, but just record them so then people can kind of share that, or at least
honestly if we were
so before we lose the plot can we come back to Chris Blevins
what I was going with there is I want you two, both or all three of us, to come up with two numbers in our heads, and we should come up with them independently. One, where is he going to finish in Baltimore? Two, how high is he going to finish in one of the World Cups? Okay, I think I've got my numbers. Okay, Jen, what do you got
for finishing in Baltimore? I think he'll come third.
Okay, that'll be his highest finish. I think he's going to win one of the days. I'm putting it out there. Chris Blevins wins a day of Baltimore. Not both of them, just one of them. Zach?
Here's what's going to happen. Okay. Day one. So day one, we know he has a last row start, right? And Curtis White, I think you saw firsthand, dude is flying. But he also knows that Chris Blevins is in the field. Curtis, like, just good luck to you, Michael, on day one of charm, because I think Curtis is just going to absolutely lay it down. Because we saw this kind of on day two with Strohmeyer, right? Like, Strohmeyer, because it was strung out a little bit more on day one, he couldn't move up quite as easily. I think on day one, he finishes, like, third-ish, gets a good chunk of those C1 points. Day two, he wins. He's finishing in top 10 in a World Cup.
Yeah,
he's that good. I'm sorry. Like, Chris Blevins is that good at bike racing.
I just wonder what he's going to do.
I had top 10 pinpointed for the World Cups too.
Ooh, so I'm not being as bold as I thought I was.
And this is my reason. So we saw Logan Owen race a few times a couple years ago, and he got third in that Fayetteville Cross, which basically had the entire field. Like, everyone was there. But Logan Owen has been training for years to be not a cyclocross racer, kind of the opposite of cyclocross, riding road, doing this long stuff. Chris Blevins is in that talent level or higher, and he's basically the world champion in cyclocross on mountain bikes. So how's he not going to go fast?
I mean, I guess some people were discounting, like, even, say, his win at Snowshoe, but, like, what he did to Nino Schurter. Time out. Nino Schurter just won his 9th world championship, and, like, the thing about Chris Blevins, and I think you saw this when he won the short track race, is he's not only just insanely talented with huge snap, huge power, but he's knowledgeable beyond his years as a bike racer. Like, he knows how to win races. I mean, you know, sprinting before the sprint, knowing just his win in short track worlds was just brilliant.
Well,
you
can tell the guy's done road
before the sprint.
You can tell the guy's
knew no one could
road.
Come around him.
Like, he has so much race sense. Like, some people just have that race sense. They can smell it. And yeah, he's definitely got that. I just wonder, like, between now and then, though, it's like, what's he going to do? Like, is he training for cross? Is he taking some downtime? Like, the best laid plans, right? But you just don't know. Because he came off of,
I think he could record a spoken word album and not ride his bike until 2 days before Baltimore and still get a third place.
I mean, obviously, I think, right, like, we're putting just all of this hope on this and all of this hype, and, you know, I'm sure he'll feel some of that. And maybe we shouldn't be. Maybe we should just let the man come out and race his bike. But I think there's just this palpable, like, if you follow bike racing, you know, I saw him win. He just showed up at U23 Nats, you know, in a race that had Gage Hecht. had these great racers, and he won. You know, he dropped Eric Brunner with just this massive attack in the last lap, and he hopped like a set of three stairs. I don't know if you guys remember this, but like he attacked mid-attack, hops the stairs, and Brunner is just like,
"What happened?"
That was fun. I got second at Nats. So I think there's just been this excitement to be like, hey, what if we could get, you know, not just him doing it for fun or whatever and jumping upstairs on his bike and, you know, doing the wheelie where he can kiss his wheel and stuff, but just to see for a spell what he can do. And, you know, being with Trinity is like the perfect opportunity, right? Like Trinity, their first rider was Tom Pidcock, and Tom Pidcock just does whatever he wants. Like Tom Pidcock's like, hey, I'm going to go do artistic ballet bike dancing. And they'll be like, all right, well, that's cool. Like, have 2 weeks, like you'll probably be world champ. You know, I think that it's just a really good opportunity for him to kind of showcase his skills. And I talked, he seemed excited. There were exclamation points when I asked him if he was excited, if he's going to be racing cross this year. So I take that as encouragement.
If he wins, though, will he have enough points to qualify? Like in this whole convoluted criteria, or is like winning a race enough to qualify him?
Do you really think that someone at USAC,
I'm just saying,
Chris Blevins has like, I know the rules are the rules, but do you really think USAC's going to sit there? He does. He gets, say he gets a podium at Baltimore. They're going to sit there and go, yeah, we shouldn't send him. Like, we have someone else who's going to get 14th.
No, but if they like wrote these rules, are they actually going to follow their rules? Like, or if you win, does that get you in?
Everybody knows that you don't actually need to follow the rules in cycling. So why would this be any different?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I asked Jen this question. I was like, Jen, do people hate Canadian cycling as much as they hate USAC? And she said,
yes,
what did you say? I don't remember.
Openly.
So every year when we pick our Worlds team, there's all this controversy because basically they take these rules and they just kind of like do whatever they want. Ooh. Like, you know, our whole new thing is medal capable. But like even under the medal capable, like you can't be like, excuse me, Mr. World Champion of the most of cyclocross on mountain bikes. We think that you are not medal capable. Like he's like the one male that we have that actually qualifies as being medal capable in any sport, like or any discipline. So yeah, I think that nod. Like, you know, but you never know. It's USAC, you know, they come just like, well, you know, Chris, you were one short. You were 1 point short on the UCI points. And we're just going to have to go with someone else. Like I wouldn't be surprised.
Mm-hmm. It does suck for the person who was number 10 or whatever. I think they have 12 spots, right?
They
10 spots
a lot
plus
of people.
Two U23s or something like that.
We had 16 last
16.
Time.
16. It basically three quarters of the field will be people with USA beside their name. So it sucks for the person who doesn't make it because of that. But I agree. It's like it wouldn't surprise me if Chris Blevins is the highest American, North American, male finisher on one of the World Cups.
Like, so, Michael, I have a question then. How
it would be silly not
to say. How do you plan on beating him? Like, what's your strategy in Baltimore?
My strategy is not to beat Chris Blevins. My strategy is to race as fast as I can. And if that involves beating Chris Blevins, that's great. If it doesn't involve beating Chris Blevins, I mean, so be it. I've never gone into the race having a race strategy about how I'm going to beat Matthew. It hasn't happened.
All right. You're all about that progress, not perfection, that kind of stuff, right?
Well, I mean, okay, that's actually a funny point. It's like, I think sometimes we get caught up in the progress, like, ooh, it's all about the journey to a fault. Like, well, yes, it is, but at the end of the day, it's still about winning freaking bike races, right?
Yep.
Like, but there's also an element where you need to be realistic with where you're at. Like, I'm not going to win a World Cup. I want to win Baltimore. I want to win Rochester. I want to win Cincinnati. I'm not going to win a World Cup. So you kind of have to pick your battles.
Speaking of, Jen had suggested this as a topic in our very loose planning for this episode. And don't worry for Nowhere Fast, that Jen has been a guest on to talk about Zwift racing. We come in with zero plan. And I have to somewhere steer Mike and Kevin into an episode. So ostensibly, I'm a member of the media or whatever is the remnants of the media. And, you know, Mike, I really appreciate it. Like, you guys do a great job of playing along and trying. You know, Michael, you think you mentioned that we're in an entertainment business. And you got snubbed by your peers big time. And it seemed like you kind of used that for motivation. I really like that. I mean, were you like legit feeling snubbed and like, you know, did that motivate you? Were you like on the start line, just kind of like casting side eye at dudes being like, who didn't pick me?
I mean, okay.
Oh, you didn't pick me? Here, oh, you didn't pick me? I know you didn't pick me.
You know what, Zach? I know they all didn't pick me, because do you know who voted for me? It was me. I voted for me. That was me. My vote.
Oh, well, see, that's the beauty. I didn't know that, because it was anonymous. That was part of the goal of it.
Oh, okay, and I need to apologize, too. I also didn't vote for Gage, and it's just because I forgot about him. He's definitely top three.
See, there's just too many people. Well, Zach, you would have listened to the, our last episode, where we're just like, yeah, like, they would be good. You know, someone's, Magley's going to be good. Claire will be good. Yeah, Katie Klaus will probably be good. Becca will be good. Everybody's going to be good. I hope everyone has a great season. We're like, wow, this is the most Canadian thing ever.
I hope everyone's happy and healthy and successful.
Yeah.
But no, okay, getting back to the root of that question. Yes, I was fired up. I was texting you that day, and I was pretty fired up. And I've been using that as motivation. Like, I'm, what, how many years into my cycling career? And I've been pretty close to the top of it for the past 3 or 4 years. And it's like, there's something beautiful about being an underdog in a lot of ways. But at the same time, it's like, look, I've been here. I've done this. I've been on the Pan Am's podium a couple times. I've won 3 national championships. Like, come on, guys. So I sort of knew going into opening that email that I wasn't going to be ranked where I wanted to be. And I was excited about that because I knew it was going to be like fuel for the next few races and for the training block. Because I'm a pretty happy person most of the time. Like, being fired up doesn't come easily to me. So it's kind of nice to have it handed to you on a platter every now and then.
So we can literally do the Michael Jordan and I took that personally meme with you. And it was actually true. We're not making it up. Like, we could put your face on Michael Jordan, you know, from The Last Dance, where basically the entire Last Dance is him taking it personally.
I thought
about
that.
You had cause to take that personally.
I absolutely. I was, when I was all like, all, you know, upset, annoyed, whatever about this, I was actually thinking about The Last Dance, and I was thinking about that clip where I forget who it is, where Michael Jordan, like, fabricates the story about whatever player it was being like, nice game, Mike, and then just crushing him the next one. And I was like, I'm not really fabricating him, but it's like, okay, like, if that's what Michael Jordan does to get in that headspace and to, you know, perform at the level that he needs to perform at, so be it. Like, it's tough, especially for the men's field. I was talking to Steven about this a little bit. It's like, we've raced each other forever. I remember doing Providence in like 2014 or 2015, and Steven was there, and Curtis was there, and Carrie was there. Like, we've all raced each other for years now, and I'd say we're all kind of friends at this point in time. So it's, you know, if there's not genuine hate, at least there has to be like, I need to prove something to you guys, right?
It's kind of interesting. It's like, I was thinking about that, the difference in the scenes between mountain biking and cross. Like, in cyclocross, the domestic scene, there's actually like these, there's so much more like head-to-head racing amongst the North Americans and those rivalries and actually like knowing how to race each other compared to mountain biking, where we hardly race each other at all head-to-head. It's always at World Cups. Like, we have nationals this weekend, and this is literally like, this is the first time it's only been Canadians. I mean, say that it was a Canada Cup or a US Cup and the Americans, like, we literally just don't just race each other. So like those narratives are lost. And like this season in particular, for at least the Canadians, like, we haven't had like big results at the World Cup. So like the, where people are at and where they stack up going into this weekend is kind of like, no one really knows. Kind of like, no, Catherine's probably going to crush us all again. She's like, I'm going out on a high note. She's just ready to rumble. But yeah, whereas you coming in,
that's the ultimate power play.
Can you imagine if she did that?
Is winning nationals and then retiring. Like, that's the dream. That's what I'm going to do. I'm winning nationals and then I'm out. Not, maybe not this year, but like, that would be, that's the way you want
to
go out.
Yeah, but it's just like the contrast to like, you guys getting to race each other so much, like on the cross scene, and then mountain biking, it just doesn't really exist. Like, I feel like I understand the narrative of cross racing so much better than of domestic racing. But I got a good laugh. Cycling Canada sends out these newsletters like saying that just what races are coming up, and they did a little preview for mountain bike nationals, and they list like Catherine and Haley as our Olympians and Emily's like our defending national champion, and then they just snuck me in there as cyclocross star Jen Jackson. But I haven't raced cross, and I haven't raced cross in 2 years, but this is what they see me as, and I'm like, yes. I have identity.
So cycling Canada sees you as cyclocross star, but the heat check does not.
I don't exist.
I was ninth. Where was Jen? And okay, this was my theory. Partly I blame we were getting snapped. Partly I just don't think the American education system is very good, and you guys don't know that Canada's part of North America. That's my second theory. But Meg snuck in. So
The Rochette makes that kind of fall apart. Are we just like, are we acknowledging
that's Quebecois? That's its own thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Separate but
that
different.
That might be the meanest thing we've ever said.
Say that. I didn't say that.
Oh boy. I know you guys just had an election. I don't want to wade into Canadian
politics. We all just
decided
things should stay
anything.
The same.
So here's a question I want to ask you guys. So you guys are talking about Jen kind of them throwing you in there or whatever. And so, you know, when I was at Cyclocross Magazine, I was editor of Cyclocross Magazine for 2.5 years. I feel like there's a lot of like, oh, yay, this is cool. You know, like if I did a preview, I had to like mention every rider in the field lest I snub someone and be mean. And I think, you know, one of your questions for this show is like, you know, how do we save cyclocross? And I guess, you know, from my perspective, the goal is, and this is totally, I'm not a confrontational person and like normally, but I feel like someone needs to step into this role of trying to create narratives. We need some level of drama. Like, this is why I love that you were actually legitimately upset about this. Like, because otherwise we're just like, yeah, that's nice. You know, Carrie, like I wrote an article about like, oh, Carrie wins. Oh, that's nice. You know, Curtis wins. Oh, that's nice. That's cool. And try to create some story and build stories and narratives and tell the stories of riders and try to make it. I think that's one of the things we need to do is make it more interesting to get people, you know, to care about athletes. And, you know, the beef has been the big thing. But like, you know, look at with the Euros, you know, it's stories about Ailey beefing with his teammates and Lorenz is upset and, you know, Vanderpool's back hurts and that's all controversial and Wout did this. And it just seems like that kind of drives interest, right? Like, I'm just going to go on a limb here and assume that you guys are hockey fans. You know, do you get involved in the drama of like the hockey fans that you follow or the hockey it's players that you follow?
Oh, I mean, I'm a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, so it's drama nonstop.
That in itself is controversial.
Yeah. I know. You know what? I've cheered for the Leafs since I was like 4 years old. You can't abandon them. I'm a Leafer for life, and one day they're going to beat the Bruins, and one day they're going to get out of the first round, and we'll all rejoice, except for the 90% of hockey fans who hate the Leafs passionately. Yeah.
I mean, like
So here's the question. Like, are we doing the right thing? Are we doing the right thing, or should we just be nice and say everyone's great and not do power rankings and not try to tell these stories or whatever? Like, I'm like, are people going to get really mad at me and I'm going to become persona non grata for having opinions about
everyone wants cyclocross racing? I think because, in North America, the scene is pretty small. Like, all the racers are it's a pretty personal relationship with the fans. So, like, people who are at the races, because it's very participant based, they have like a, you know, to some extent, a personal rapport with the elite racers. So their tendency is just to be overwhelmingly supportive and not kind of comment and critique on things. Like, even if there is a story, so to speak, people are, you know, they're kind of like, oh yeah, but you know, everyone did their best and you know, it was a good race. And like, there's this balance of selling the personalities and like the individual stories, but then trying to get people to actually engage and like have, you know, their take or their observations on it. So it's as much, how do you engage people to talk about the race?
I mean, I think the television part of it's a big component. Like right now there's, if you've been following along, like Rebecca Faringer crashed on day 2. It is not happy about it. But that's all we know. Like, there's no video evidence of how the crash went down. So I think even if there was, like, that's that would spurn those, and I hope she's okay. She hit her head, and that's, like, that's scary stuff. But, like, there's no video of that for people to analyze and look at and decide whose fault it was and what happened and all that stuff. And it's, like, and I hope we can do that with race wins, too, not just crashes. But it's, like, even it's cool being able to watch the Kerry Curtis sprint on day one. It's, like, well, how did Kerry lose that sprint? It's, like, well, he sat down, right? And it's, like, we just need more of that and then to have opinions layered on top of that. So I think what you've been able to do with the bulletin, where it's like almost at a certain point, Zach, it seems like you're like, you went, you know what, screw it, I'm going to write my opinions down, and that's just how it is. Because you're right, it's like you flipped a switch from CXMEG to the bulletin a little bit. And I think that's what we have to do. Like, would anybody watch, what's that show, Big Brother, if it was like eight people in the house who just all got along? No, that'd be a terrible TV show.
Well, and that's kind of where I'm coming from. I feel like someone, you know, and I have some like leeway because we have no journalistic standards anymore. I mean, like, we try to, like, we're not out to burn you guys or whatever, but like we have more freedom, right? It's our website and we can kind of do whatever we want with it. And yeah, I feel like I've just kind of decided that I'm going to do that. And I think that we try to keep it positive. So most of our opinions are, you know, we try to keep it like, we're not like, oh, this, you know, we're not like, oh man, what was Vandenham doing on the front of that race for three laps? That seemed like a terrible idea, you know, like, and we don't like, what was he doing? We're like, oh yeah, that's cool. You know, Michael's feeling good. You know, I think that we try to spin it very positively, but yeah, it's like just trying to tell the stories and, you know, with like Erica Zavetta and Hannah Arensman battling for third, like, did you know they raced against each other when they were 11? You probably didn't. Or when Hannah Arensman was 11 or 13? No, they raced together for, they've been racing against each other for a decade. Like, that's pretty cool. You know, trying to just tell some more of those stories. But you're right. I think we did make this cognizant decision. We've had a lot of fun telling the stories of the Euros. We have all these characters in our narrative. You know, we have Ailey and Armand Don and Primetime and Lucinda Brand and Yarcast. You know, we have all these characters. And it's like, I guess it makes it more interesting. That's the goal, I think, what we're going for. But to answer your question that you also raised, Michael, you need video. You need video. People need to be able to watch you do the sport to become fans. Right? You can't just be like, hey, look at these pictures and become a fan of cyclocross. So you also asked me, what as an athlete, I'm just doing the show. Like, is that okay that I'm doing the show that you laid out? Am I doing too much structure here? Okay. So you asked me, like, what can athletes do vis-a-vis media? And I think that the reality in cycling, right, we look around and especially say in cyclocross, we're like, we're it. Cyclocross magazine, apparently I murdered it by leaving. It's just, it's like, rest, I call it peace, zombie cyclocross magazine at this point. Yeah. Velo News, you know, they're not covering cross. Like, no one ran results. Not a single one of the big three publications here in the US ran results from Go Cross, you know, but oh, they'll do a 20,000 word write up of a gravel race in, you know, Oklahoma or whatever. That just, you know, just kind of is what it is. And so I think for you guys, like, you have to make your own content. Like, you can't sit around and wait for the media. And I think that you guys are doing this podcast, which is awesome. You know, Curtis has a podcast. Kerry has a vlog. You saw Becca just, I mean, she had a rough season last year, but like her popularity, like, I mean, she had a moment, right? Like, her popularity exploded because of the content that she was putting out. And she has fans internationally now. I mean, she's, you know, known internationally because of that. You know, I think writing is a thing of the past. I think it needs to be visual audio as a writer. I'm a dinosaur. But yeah, I think that you need to do these reels. You need to be putting yourself out there. And, you know, unless you're on like a team that's very structured, you know, I think Cannondale might be like the only team that can do that. Like, you gotta build your own brand. You gotta do your own thing.
No, I totally agree.
Yeah. And I guess for better and worse, I absolutely agree with you. Like, I often joke, it's like, man, I wish I was a bike racer back when all you had to do was a blog post once a month. But that's not the world anymore. And you're very much right. It's like it's more about a name on a result sheet. So hopefully, and I feel like there was a long time when media was almost like, for at least an athlete, was okay. Like, okay, I have to say the right things. I was joking a little bit. It's like, okay, I want to thank my sponsors and my fans and God. And it's like, of course you have to do that stuff, but it doesn't mean you have to like tank your personality in the process. Right. So
well,
for me,
I think it lets, Oh, sorry. Go finish.
I think there was like a switch a couple years ago when I was like, why am I like trying to put together these hyper polished, I've thought about every single word type interviews? It's not who I am, and it's not what people want to listen to.
Well, I mean, just look at Evie Richards' interviews, like at like these last block of races. Like, she is just da 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 da, and it is the best thing ever because she just is like, it's all emotion. She's not thinking about it, and I often find this does also come. You get like much more sincere interviews sometimes from athletes who are doing an interview in their. Like, English isn't their native tongue. Like, they just don't have the same filter on what they're saying. So as long as they have a good grasp on the language, like, what they say is what they mean, and they're not just, like, barfing cliches on you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and doing your own media then is also an opportunity. You're not constrained by, you know, having this structure, right? Like, you can kind of take your message to the people, as it were. And I think that if you do have a good personality, now, no doubt it's going to favor people who have good personalities. You know, I look at like Becca, like I just described her personality as Becca, like, right. Mm-hmm. Like, she's one of the most unique people that you'll come across. Like, you will not come across a similar mix of Becca, but like, she's flourished because she's kind of unfiltered. But like her, you know, with her vlogs and with the way that she's interacted with the fans, like, it's really flourished and people have really connected with that, you know? And I think like for you guys doing this podcast, like, you know, I mean, I really have always liked you guys both professionally and like as people, but like, I like to see your podcast. It's just like, oh, I'm just hanging out with the Canucks, you know? And that's kind of your vibe. And that comes across like in the show that you do, you know? I think we look at Curtis is like, prior to the race, we were describing like the levels of his pro-ness, and like, he's so pro that like, you know, you have to, he's like pro, but like, still he's doing this podcast and like, you're kind of getting some insight from him that you might not otherwise get. And it's like, I'm kind of interesting. Like, I tune in every once in a while. Yeah. What did Curtis think about this race? Like, it's super interesting to me. So even someone that would be kind of like super, super pro, and but you hang out with Curtis, he's a great dude and he's fun, but like, he's so pro. Michael, he's the pro that you were describing.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
We had him. It was a good race. We had him. I just had to go. Had to ride hard, you know, doing it for the team. Like,
yeah.
The cliches.
Yeah, absolutely. And it honestly, that is Curtis. Like, I don't think he's putting that on. He is willing to do the professional things to be the best athlete he possibly can. Like, that's genuine, I think. So, Zach, we had some questions for you. Back on track. We had some questions for you, and I think you covered part of them. But, like, you're in year two of the CXR's bulletin, right? Did you start it 3 years ago with that domestic season, or did it start last year?
I have a funny story about this. We started December 1st. We launched it December 1st of 2020, so we're actually coming up on a year. But, you know, we're doing the subscription drive. And I will say, my mother, number one fan, she'll listen to this podcast. Hi, Mom. She reads every story. She listens to every podcast, even though she has no clue what Zwift is. Probably no clue what mountain biking is, you know, no clue what gravel is, but she was like, I tried to subscribe again. I'm like, Mom, it's December 1st. You're already subscribed. Don't worry. She's like, oh, okay. I just want to make sure I didn't miss it. I'm like, oh, don't worry. It'll charge your credit card anyway. But that's how dedicated. My mom wants to pay me twice to resubscribe, even though she still has October and November left to go. So long story short, we're coming up. This is season two, but this is season one of covering you guys.
Yeah, cool.
In America.
I did subscribe, and I hoped it would give me a bump for callouts on it. That's why I subscribed.
How many heat checkpoints do you get if you subscribe? Like, is it two, three? I'm just wondering, like, how can we buy? You said you had no journalistic standards earlier. Like, how do we buy our way into the number one spot?
Well, so one problem, though, is that your money is worth less. I think that that's really one issue that we're facing, right?
Exchange
like
rate.
If you pay in Canadian dollars, you're going to get kind of hit by the exchange rate. I actually don't do the heat check. That is Bill's intellectual property. And so, like, to be really honest with you, as much as I would want your Canadian money, it would just be a waste because he has the algorithm on lock. You'll have to talk to Bill this weekend to figure out what his price is.
Okay, I'll figure out how to bribe Bill. I saw him wearing like a Metallica shirt a while ago. Do I have to like get him some CDs or something? Do people still listen to CDs? Maybe vinyl?
I don't I mean, he's pretty, Bill's pretty up on his music though. So you know, if you're going to get him something, definitely hit that Pitchfork and look for those good reviews, because Bill is very up on his tunes.
We got so distracted. I was just like, what are you most excited for this year? Being on the bulletin, like you said, we've already talked about how. Do you feel like freed at all from having to be the, I don't know, as editor of Cross Magazine? Like you said, you felt like you had to cover everything. You had felt like you had to have these like very, not that they're not balanced now, but you know what I mean. Like these very like, this was the race. This is how it happened. What are you excited for now with the bulletin?
Ooh, that is a tough question. I think that I'm beyond excited to be working with Bill. I think like right away, you know, we kind of recognized that we should be working together. And not to say that we weren't competing, but we were just like, you know, we vibe really well and we both respect the work that each other do. So we were just kind of like, all right, like I knew I was leaving, especially. It took me like 9 months to find it. So like you guys got an extra season of me because it took so freaking long to apply for jobs before I got hired at my current position. But we were just like, all right, dude, as soon as I'm gone, like we're doing stuff together, you know. And I was kind of writing for the CX Hairs blog, and you know, we just spend countless hours like texting and stuff. And I think, you know, that's one exciting thing is like all these ideas that come out is like with Bruce Buckley, who just killed it this weekend, and Michael Bodenheimer and Bill, you know, we're always just like bouncing ideas off each other and stuff like that. So it's definitely, I think it's more of a team effort. I felt very alone at Cyclocross Magazine. I think that people, to be honest, think that we were bigger than it was. Basically just me and then a few contributors, but mostly just me by myself. You know, so I think it's, I really enjoy being part of this like dynamic team, and it's like we're always like pushing each other to come up with new ideas and stuff. But I don't know, I've just always loved domestic cyclocross. Like I remember I started in 2013 and I saw like, you know, Trebone and Tim Johnson and Jeremy Powers and Jonathan Page race against each other, and I was just like, this is awesome. Like, I just was really into it. I've just always been into domestic cyclocross. I think, like, I just love, like you said, knowing people. And it's just kind of, to me, it's more interesting, if I'm being really honest, than, like, just another generic Belgian. I mean, we follow the Belgies, and thank God for, like, Wout and Pitters and Michu, but,
meh.
You know.
It's really cool what you said about, like, being part of, like, the media team, because I think, I mean, we talk about the importance of teams as athletes all the time, and like having a good environment to perform, and just seeing the parallel there for yourself. And like, you guys have collected, you know, the premier cyclocross media people and have made like your own super team, right? So maybe we need like another, it's like you almost see that in cycling too, where it's like the people who are in a good environment, they're going to perform, they're enjoying what they're doing, they support each other, and they can do what they set out to do. Then you guys have kind of found that place, but I think you guys maybe need rivals. You guys might need rivals. We need the media beef. You guys need to fight for stories.
So I think there was a time that like Bill and I think we're both competitive. Like we both grew up playing basketball. It was just like, I think we pushed each other to be better at our respective jobs. Cause it's just like, well, if I drop the ball, like Bill's just going to kill it. And
yeah.
Bill is like, well, I can't let Zach, this new guy, kill me. And so it was like, I think it was competitive in that regard. I will say this, like, I mean, it's awesome. Like, I mean, it's really cool. But like, to be honest, like our most important goal, I think, is the success of cyclocross. Like if Velo News wanted to come in and actually cover cyclocross and deign themselves to do it, you know, we'd be happy stepping aside and, you know, probably forfeiting. Like, we're doing okay. Like I'm making a nice supplement. I have a side hustle. I never thought I would have. I have a side hustle, you know, but I think there's some of that responsibility. Like we have the ability to do so, and like you guys deserve it. Like the community deserves it. And like we're going to step in and do it, you know? And I spent a lot of time doing it. I mean, I know it's a little bit asking people to pay for the bulletin, but like, I mean, I work on my lunch breaks. I'm going to go write probably a couple thousand words about your race on Saturday over the weekend, Michael, after we finish this podcast. Like it's a lot of work. Like I feel like I deserve a few dollars to kind of motivate myself to do it. But to your point, Jen, I think, 100%. Like, love. I mean, I'm like trying to book. I'm trying to book tickets, flights to go to these races to just hang out with the media. Like, it's so much fun. Like, I can't overstate how much fun and like exciting it is to like go to these races and work together. And, you know, yeah. we were at Rochester. Yeah, I think it was Rochester. So we all did our stuff, and then we started recording a podcast at like 12:30 a.m. and we just stayed up and did like an hour and a half podcast about Rochester in 2019 at like 12:30 a.m. because it's just like, oh, we're here, let's do it.
Yeah, I feel a lot of the same way actually about being a racer. And it's like, why do I keep coming back? Why do I keep racing year after year? Yeah, it's the racing. I really like the racing for sure. That's a big part of it. But man, the people. Like, I talked to Bill so much last weekend. I talked to Steven for a long time last weekend. I talked to Al Donahue for a long time last weekend. Like, I missed these people. And that's almost the part that I missed the most during the sort of, you know, season-long hiatus we had from North American racing is standing, and Jen will tell you this is very true, walking around the course, walking around the tent city, and just chatting with people and, like, seeing where they're at, seeing how they're doing, you know, joking about cyclocross, whatever it is. Like, that's my favorite part of the sport, to a fault. I should probably spend less time walking around, you know, on Friday before the race starts.
Well, I think that's really true. As I've done some other stuff of like volunteering and stuff, and you know, people always say like you come for the cause or whatever it might be, but you stay because you like the people. And I think that, you know, that's a really important thing. Like when I started racing cross, I just found this this community that I became a part of like instantaneously, you know, in Wisconsin or whatever. And you know, frankly, I'm here in Minnesota now and this year, and I'm not finding that. Like, I think it's so essential to you know, us as, you know, you guys are essentially leaders, like to build the sport is to just be welcoming. You know, you kind of do like walk around on Friday, say, ask people how their race is going to go, or, you know, talk to them about pre-riding and stuff, what they think of the course. Like, that's the kind of stuff that they're going to be like, oh, like this pro dude is like talking to me. Like, that's really cool. Like, I feel like this is a really cool community. I want to be a part of it. You know, and I think that for everyone who gets kind of addicted, like, right, it's a bit of an addiction. It's because it is such a close community, and like it you have to try really hard to not make friends in the cyclocross community, I feel like.
I mean, it's fundamentally like, as it's human nature to want to belong and part of something, and you're signing up, you're kind of coming into this kind of like looking for that. And yeah, people are super welcoming. So it should be easy. You just need to find the people, just go there. And like you said, as leaders in the community, if you set the norm as being friendly and open, then it's just, you know, people see that and they're going to reflect that in how they treat others as well. This is why there's no beef though, is because everyone's just so welcoming and nice and not grouchy like in Belgium.
I think you can have both. I'm okay with admitting now, this took me a long time to get, that like, I want to win Rochester on Saturday. Heck, I want to win it on Sunday too. Like, that is 100% my goal. And there might be some people that hear that and go, you're not going to win on Saturday and Sunday. And I'm like, you know what? Then I'll prove you wrong. Like, that's fine. And I can still be friends with those people outside of that. But I don't think it's mutually exclusive.
And I mean, I guess I made this, I wrote this thing. I was like, I said the cyclocross needs to be more interesting than nice, right? It can be performative. Like, I think that Carey could have come out and, you know, he could have made a big deal about wanting to win on his home course. And Curtis could have played that up and been like, you know, he could have just joking. It doesn't have to be serious. Like, you can talk about, like, here's our narrative. Like, be like, here's our story for the weekend. Like, we're beefing, you know? You can be like, Michael, like, if you'd gotten in a race, like, if you're racing for the podium, be like, well, I want to beat him, you know? Like, it makes it more interesting, but, you know, I don't find a way. You guys are all friends. Like, just be like, it doesn't have to be like personal, but like you can like add a little something. I don't think it would have added any ill will for Carey to be like, it's my home turf, like, and Curtis being like, I'm on enemy soil, you know, like, let's do this.
Yeah, I mean, even the race for third, which was Strohmeyer and myself on day one, like, he came up to me and you know, it's like, hey, this is the kid that's fast, but my reaction was actually like, oh hell no, like, he's not beating me, like, he started in the back row. He's a first-year elite. Like, he is not beating me. And I'm glad I made that true, and I have nothing against Andrew. In fact, I want him to be successful, but he's not beating me.
And then,
you know, and it's personal. Like, I think you can have, like I said, you can have both of those things.
Well, and I think that I think you guys do have a unique opportunity this year, because I can tell you that like Bruce and Bill are going to be at a lot of the races, especially through Cincy. Since you guys sent us your schedule, that was a great thing you did. Seems like no one's going to be at some of those races after Cincy. I feel sorry for those organizers. You know, you guys are going to have the opportunity to like be interviewed frequently. Like you're actually going to have access to a lot of media. Like I must have transcribed like an hour and a half of interviews on Saturday and Sunday to write the race reports. But like, if there's good shit in there, like I want to make sure I publish it. Like, I think you actually, you know, you have us who want to do this, you know, kind of, you know, us, like you kind of, you know, that we're not going to necessarily burn you if like you make a mistake or say something really outrageous. Like that's not our goal. But at the same time, like if you want to get a story out there, we'll do it for you, you know? So I think actually this season, you guys do have a bit of a unique opportunity, having us wanting to tell your story and trying to kind of shape
like a symbiotic relationship, just everyone working together.
Yes. And I hope that the opportunity we have with GCN and Flow Bikes essentially televising everything from here through Cincinnati opens the door for people like you and Bill and Bruce to like, you don't need to focus on the race reports as much. That's like, those are televised. You could focus on the story, right? You can focus on the other stuff, which is pretty cool.
Well, and I think one thing that's really exciting about having this, we can focus on the racing, right? Like on the Media Pit podcast, where we will analyze for half an hour, we'll literally analyze one corner or like one lap of a race. Like now we can start to do that. Whereas, you know, I felt like I came in and we were able to talk about GoCross in a very intelligent way because of the work Bill and Bruce did. But like, it's kind of relying on the work that they did, but it's still, you're taking our word for it, our interpretation, understanding of kind of what went on. But now everyone can see this. So now like people will be able to watch it. I think this, going back to, this is not only a huge opportunity, like we need this to work. Like I really do. I mean, just think of all the casual people who have a GCN subscription who it's getting dark. They're like, oh, I got to do a trainer ride. Like who normally wouldn't watch domestic cross. They're like, domestic cycle. Let's see what that's what happens, right? Like, why do you watch it? Because it's available.
Yeah, it's there.
I think this is a huge opportunity for American Cross.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like, I know even in this the busiest fall we've ever had for bike racing, when you get past Paris-Roubaix, like, what else are people who are into bikes going to watch? I think you just said that. It's like, we're what's there. We're what's available. There's not a bunch of other bike racing. The World Cup season's done. And, heck, there might be a bunch of European fans on Eurosport who have always kind of been like, oh, American cyclocross, that's not cyclocross, who finally actually get to watch it in person or in, you know, TV person.
Well, it's huge. You know, how do people get into, like, are people so into the Euro? I mean, I can just tell you from stuff that we did is that like Euro race reports and stuff always did really well. Why? Because people could watch it. Like, you know, it was a little bit more hit and miss. There were some people domestically who did well for us, and then some people who were just like, we don't really give a shit. Like, you know, and it's not that we were ever driven by metrics the way, I guess, apparently your outside Borg, the outside Borg that swallowed all media. You know, they're very metric driven, and that's why they're not covering cross. But like, you know, we never really cared about the metrics. But like, I looked, I was always curious, and like, you knew who your big draws were. But the Euros you could always guarantee like that we would do well. We'd get clicks off of that. So, and why? TV.
Oh, TV. Dang, I can't be at these next few races, so I guess I have to sign up for GCN so I can watch them.
It's worth it. You didn't sign up last year? You got through all last year without signing up?
Yeah, they all kind of ended up on YouTube. All the Euro races. I was too busy. I would watch them like while I'm eating breakfast, like, or on the trainer before going to work. It's like dark and I'm just like watching the cross race while I'm on the trainer. But it was, yeah, most of them were off like from Eurosport onto YouTube. But like for the sake of like having it happen, I'm like, okay, I'll shell out. Watch them.
Didn't we? I feel like we comped you a subscription to the Bulletin. You can use that money to...
I don't know.
We hooked you up. Yeah, we hooked you up. But you can use that money to pay for your GCN subscription for this year.
Take my money.
Well,
GCN subscription's money well spent, in my book. I have one, and I watch it all the time.
Yeah, well, and I think that, you know, they're taking a big risk on you guys, right? They're taking a big risk on us on Cyclocross. We need to show them that it's worth it. That, like, I mean, trust me, they're going to be looking at their metrics. And if, like, they get, like, 17 views, they're just going to be like, why did we spend all this money on this? Like, we need people to buy the race pass, which is only $50, and you get, like, everything. And then watch it, or just fake watch it. Just put it on and let it play so they get the view. But I really think that, like, for everyone who cares about American Cross, like, people ask us, like, what can you do? It's like, sign up for, just watch these races. Like, watch these races and show GCN that there's interest in having these live streams. And let's hope it goes well. I mean, look, I'd be happy to go back to being... And frankly, I don't think I can do the level of the amount of content that I've been doing full-time for the rest of my life. Like... I would be happy to be made obsolete. Like, I would love if, like, you know, everyone's like, we got to cover Cross. Like, we're going to have full-time reporters covering this and actually give a shit and try hard and not just send, like, 5-question, like, surveys to riders like some publications are doing. We would love that. That'd be great. Like, Bill and I will happily go do other things, like, and focus more on producing, you know, less but still good content and try to find our own way to do it. We'd love that. That'd be great. That'd be the best thing.
And you can just focus on being a fan and enjoy the sport.
Yes. I mean, I enjoy it more, I think, covering it. So
it's because you get to be an insider, and everyone wants to be an insider.
Kind of.
Zach Schuster, smart insider man.
Not really. Bill's the insider. Bill has all, like, the inside dirt. I'm just the one. I'm the one who talks to everyone and does interviews and then, like, knows everyone's story. And be like, oh, that story is so inspiring. I'm really interested in that. So, which, speaking of which, Jen, how are you doing? How are you going to reset? Because I know you saw your social post the other day about being a little bit burnt out. How are you going to, what's your plan here for hitting reset before you hit Cross? Because I think you're going to be rejuvenated. I think being on the scene and being in the mud and ruts is going to be good for you.
Yeah. So I've had several really bad mountain bike races lately. I was hoping things would kind of swing up. They have swung down. And then after this weekend, got sick. That's why I'm rubbing menthol under my nose so it clears up my sinuses so I don't sound super nasally. I still probably do. So, yeah, I'm not sure. We have nationals in 2 days. I'm not doing much. Pre-ride, hang out a little bit. So I'm going to see how this weekend goes first step. But, yeah, it's rough timing because, like, I've been so stoked for these Cross races, but right now it's like, oh, it's kind of like a, oh boy, I don't know what's going to happen. So, yeah, it's tough. Like, the mountain bike season, like, ran long at the start, and I think motivation burned a lot of matches. And even though, like, I'm excited to do Cross, like, with my motivation waning for mountain biking at the end of the season, like, my form has just kind of, like, gone with it. And I think after Snowshoe, like, getting sick was partly the 18-hour drive to Nationals, and part of it just being, like, when your body, you just, like, mentally kind of shut it down, your body, like, shuts it down too a bit. So
I think stress plays a huge role. Yeah. I think I know personally, just like when I was finishing grad school, like, I just fell apart several times as an athlete.
Yeah.
At the low level that I perform at. Like, I think stress is just like, and that's why they say, right, a happy racer is a good racer or is a fast racer or whatever. And I think there's a lot to that, is when you're dealing with stress, like, even if you're not like a ball of nerve stress, if it's there, I think it affects you in these weird ways. And,
yeah,
you know, I think it's really hard to quantify.
No, I agree. So.
Yeah. We talked about this a little bit in the last podcast, but it's like, you can't race well if you're not having fun. It's, I just think the healthiest way to approach, and hopefully this is like, hopefully Cross is like the, hey, I'm back in the scene having fun for you. Because if you can get there, then other things follow.
Yeah. I am, like, going to reevaluate after this weekend based on how things go, if I will do those World Cups. Like, I really want to, but Like, if I just continue to tank, like, it's 2 weeks until those World Cups. There's not, like, a lot I can do. Like, I for sure would just be doing those hill sprints, ripping those hill sprints, riding Sandhoven, and then come to these races. But if I'm just still, like, if I'm just an absolute heap after this weekend, I might just reevaluate if I do them all, just a couple of them, or just focus on coming into the season, like taking a break now, and then maybe just come in at Nationals and then do more over Christmas. Because I'm really, I have no idea what I'm doing. Mountain bike, cross, my life. I found another, a second frame though that I'm going to buy because I only own one cross bike and a bunch of wheels. I don't have a second bike, but I found a guy. So I'm buying that from him.
Two bikes.
Yeah, I'm almost have two bikes. Don't have a second group set, but we're working on that.
Oh, you're now... Like, you have so many wheels, though,
it's
that
so bad.
I don't know how that would help you without the second bike, but you've got the wheels part taken care of.
I literally got wheels and one bike. So I'll just come in and do, like, a little F1 change. There we go.
You know, Mike Garrigan went to Europe for years and was, like, known as One Bike Mike. So I don't know if that's the reputation you want, but it's a great nickname. It's too bad Jen doesn't rhyme with anything like that.
One Bike Mike. That's amazing.
One Bike Mike, and he would like build his bikes so that they lasted as best possible. Like, he would use that like aluminum housing for the cables that ran full length and stuff like that, and like he had it built out so it could maybe withstand mud.
He is like the
eventually Mike got two bikes.
Mike Garrigan is the survivor man of cyclocross.
Yeah, and he won a national championship like pretty late in his career, so he just held on. It's like the Sandra Walter methodology of what is her saying?
She'll just outlive them all. She's sponsored by Liv.
Yeah, I'll outlast. Outlive you all. Outlive
She's
you
immortal.
All.
Yeah.
So Jen, here's my attempt at being motivational.
All right,
so
I'm ready for it. I'm taking it all.
Okay. So people are like always like, oh, what's the cyclocross or whatever? You know, I'm like, oh, what's a good, like, if I can get them to commit to like 7 minutes of just being like, what is cyclocross? I always come back to Jinglecross, and there's just a really good video because track, you know, because the rights were available of the Jinglecross World Cup from 2019.
Good race.
And so I'm always like, oh, I'm gonna watch this and be like, ah, and then I always end up watching the entire race because it was such a good race. Like, there's just so much going on, like with between Magali and Clara and Katarina. But you know what? You had a great fucking race at that race, Jen. Like, every time I'm like, go, Jen! Like, yeah!
Thank you. Yeah, I remember that race. I was the ultimate just dangler. I was just dangling behind that lead group, just being like, this is like my first World Cup. I'm in the top 10. I have no idea what's happening. I was so shattered because I'd raced the night before. But yeah, that was a sick race and sick course. Like,
and that's why, like I said, because it's got Mount Crumpet, it's got the sand, everything. It's got Magali in the first lap, just endoing in the sand. I mean, it's got everything. But yeah, I think every time I watch, right, it's like when you watch the movie and you hope there's going to be a different outcome. You're like dangling there in like sixth or seventh. I'm like, just bridge up. Come on, Jen. Make that bridge. This is going to be such a great story.
And then I dangled in Trek the next week too, like the exact same thing. Except there was like just you couldn't tell who anyone was because it was so muddy and just apocalyptic. But I just dangled there as well.
And that was like your second or third race. We were on the same team together, and I forget who it was, but like running to our team said, "Be like Jen's in seventh," and being like, "What? Like 17th?
No, she's in seventh."
It's like, no, seventh.
Yeah, because so
and just be like, oh. And like running over to watch your race and to see what was
those
happening.
Those races were so funny because it was also like Avery, our mechanic. Like I had kind of, I would say I almost fudged him onto the team as the mechanic because he worked at my bike shop, but he had no race mechanic experience. And so Dylan like hires Avery, not knowing that Avery's like 18 and has never worked races before. He was under the impression Avery knew, like was good. And he is good, but he was so green. But anyways, I kind of helped get Avery on because we needed a mechanic. And after those first couple races when I like whatever top 10 to the World Cup and then like seventh in that race and won the C2, Dylan was just like, Jen and Avery, best random people I've ever signed. He's like, literally our first weekend with the team. It's just like UCI win, World Cup top tens, and Dylan's just like, this couldn't possibly have gone any better.
It could have done. It was like the most insane opening to the season for us. It's like, we were a pretty small team. Yeah. We're a smaller team. We, as in me and Bridget and I, are a smaller team now, but we still have Avery. Yeah. We still got Avery around.
Oh, that was so funny.
Jen, you're good at that, though, because I remember when you finished fifth at Pan Ams, and we're like what the hell is a Jen Jackson? Who the hell is Jen Jackson? And then I remember like kind of following you, and you were like racing the World Cup mountain bikes and like doing pretty well. I was like, what? And then I interviewed, and I was like, oh, Jen's really cool. Like, I can't believe, like, you went from this, like, weird plaid, like, just mystery person. And Bill's like, oh, she's a Canadian mountain biker. And I was like, ooh, Canadian mountain biker.
Mysterious.
And I think, like, Zach, Jingle went a long way to kind of demystify who you were as a person. And I was just like, oh, wait, Jen's really cool. Like, this is great. But it was just, I remember, like, we're like on the doing a podcast on that race. And we're like, who the fuck was that?
We can't even comment on this. We don't know who she is. She's literally never done a UCI race before.
That was like the first time I had also heard of a Jen Jackson. And she got fifth.
Oh, so...
No, seriously. And we went for pizza after at Pan Am's, and Jen was there. And I like made a point of going over and saying hi. And I think she was probably like, who is this guy? Like, why is he introducing himself to me? But I was like, oh, Jen Jackson's fast. I'm going to go introduce myself
to her. So Michael's there with his parents at one table, and I'm there with, like, my AWI racing, like, my club teammates, and we're just like, what just happened? I was just fifth at Pan Am's. And then Michael comes over, and I'm like, I think I should know who this guy is. And he just, like, introduces himself. And I was like, yeah, nice to meet you. Have a nice evening.
I forgot about that until now, but it was like, I just remember my thought process was like, oh, that's Jen. Jen's fast. I'm going to go say hi.
Yeah. And then we.
ABC, man. Always be closing. And the next year she was on your team.
Then
so.
We were teammates.
Yeah. I think on that we should wrap it up. We're like well over an hour now.
Yeah. But that was, we're going to need to edit this somehow, but good times.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you ask, like, what I look forward to is, like, I love these stories and, like, getting to know the people behind the stories, right? It sounds like, oh, like, who are you? Like, you know, getting to kind of hear the story and the backstory and kind of be a part of this, I think, it makes it super, super interesting. I mean, I've always said, like, if you guys were shitty people, I wouldn't be spending my time doing this. Like, and I know, exactly. And like, then in the position I'm in, like, I'm not per se a journalist, and so we can kind of like be friends but still like have a professional relationship, because I think that, you know, it's like really just bending you know, norms and stuff, because like, you really as a journalist shouldn't be friends with the people that you cover. Like, that just leads to bad stuff. But yeah, no, I appreciate like just you guys being awesome. So
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on the show, Zach. I think we've been talking about it for a long time that we should have you on. And then I think we were going to try to, like, no, we were going to try to make you elevate us in the heat check to come on. But it turns out you don't have control over that. So I guess we'll just have to be friends with no bribes involved. It's fine.
Bill kind of let drop on the media pit, though. He said that the algorithm was viewing your result favorably. So he said that it was cranking.
Only look at Saturday. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, this is what he said. You know, I was going to bring it up. I was like, going to be like, Bill, how does the Sunday? He's just like, I didn't even bring it up. You know, he was just like, he's like the algorithm. He's like, it's vibing. It's putting a positive spin on that result. So we'll see what happens. You got another race this weekend. I mean, Rochester's a big deal. Mm-hmm. You got Vinny Bastian's coming over. And all the hitters saw Gage has signed up. Like, Gage is going to be back. He's going to be repping those stars and stripes. I mean, like, this is, I mean, I'm just saying, I think you should do the thing, man. I think there's a big opportunity here for everybody to kind of like, and, you know, we talk about statements, not just send a message. I don't think, like, you know, statement is so bold of a thing to do, but I'm really excited to watch.
When you say statement, you mean I like should win and roll across the line, like holding up number 9 or something? Is that a statement?
I think that you, if you podium, yes, you should do that. Bruce will be there. He'll get it. We can, yeah. No, I love it. I love it. I think that's the kind of stuff, the kind of stuff that we need. I've always said, like, I know you guys are nice, but I think I like the idea of like this Canadian, American, like kind of rivalry, between you guys. And I think we're going to see that play out. Cause I there's good evidence that suggests that Magley and Clara are the two best racers in North America. And mm-hmm. I think that like, they're going to be dueling it out, all year.
Zach, I'll let me clear one thing up. It's not an idea of a rivalry. You know what my absolute favorite, like we were joking about it earlier, my absolute favorite thing about the Olympics is watching our women's soccer team kick the U.S. women's soccer team's ass. Like, I love that. Every single time it happens, if we win in hockey, if we win in, like, there's no country I would rather beat at a sport than the U.S. And at the same time, I'll still cheer for them. But I want to beat the U.S. at every sport. And I think all Canadians feel like that. Like, we're the, you know, forgotten part of North America. So, yeah, that's a real thing. And maybe we should just play it up.
Well, I think there's opportunity, right? I think like Pan Am's obviously means a lot to you guys as racers, and it's a very friendly thing. Like, it doesn't have to be serious. You can just be like, hey, I'm repping for, you know, Team Canada, and I'm repping for, you know, Team America.
We need a Pan Am's relay. Like, you see the announcement about the World Championships relay? I want a Pan Am's relay. It's basically just Canada and the U.S., but I want the Pan Am's relay.
All right. Well, anyway, thanks for having me. I shan't keep you guys any longer, and I look forward to listening to your shows the rest of the season.
Oh, likewise. Thanks, Zach.
All right. Thank you.
Audacity
and ending and recording.
Recording stopped. Stop.